Hello and welcome to Sleeping Giants, the East Anglian Daily Times and Ipswich Stars sports podcast. There's no need for a big introduction this week. It's all about the East Anglian Derby. Ipswich travel to Norwich in what has become one of the most eagerly anticipated fixtures this season for fans of both sides. Town writer Stuart Watson is here for our big preview, and he will also be at the game on Sunday. So, straight into it, Stuart. Is there less trepidation for fans of Ipswich following some recent good results? Have their hopes been buoyed by what Mick McCarthy's men have been doing on the field recently?
Yeah, massively. It was a fixture that I think was people were pretty fearful of just a few weeks ago. You think back to January the 31st, that 3-0 home defeat to Derby. Fairly chaotic transfer window, no replacement for Murphy. Chambers nearly left the building. Mick saying that his future was in doubt as well. And you were worried. You looked at that fixture list, the fearsome February fixture list as we dubbed it, and thought, blimey, where are the points coming from? They're going to get dragged into a relegation scrap here. And as we all know, they've picked up unbeaten in the four games so far against some very good sides, hit form just at the right time, and I think they'll quietly fancy their chances going over the border on Sunday.
Just putting the Norwich game to one side for a moment, whatever the result this Sunday, do you think that the points accumulated from the matches we've already said have been quite tough this month will be a fairly good return considering what the expectations were coming into February?
Oh yeah, it's a fantastic return of points, and the best part about it is that it could easily have been more. I said a few weeks ago that it was more about performances than points for Ipswich going forward. The performances have certainly been what everyone was asked for. They've played with more vim, vigour, got the ball down, played a bit more, easier on the eye. But you know, the draw against Reading could easily have been 3 points, with a better team that day. Likewise against Leeds last weekend, they had good chances against Brighton in that draw as well. So you could easily be, you know, 6 points unbeaten and could easily have been more. So very buoyed by the recent performances.
Is it a good time for Ipswich to play Norwich? They're not where their fans hoped they would be. They were thought to be at least in the playoffs when we went into this season, if not challenging for one of the automatic promotion spots, and it's really not gone to plan for them this year, has it?
No, it hasn't. I think it's a great time to play them. I think a few people north of the border will be a little bit worried about this one at the moment. Normally going into these fixtures, there's sort of the canaries crowing and an air of arrogance about the place up there, certainly going into those playoff games and those games the season Norwich last went up. A bit of a superiority complex going on. I think the fact that they'd been in the Premier League for a few years, came back down and went straight back up. But you're right, it's not gone to plan for them this year. They were bookies' favourites to go up automatically alongside Newcastle. Started really well. The wheels came off quite spectacularly. Alex Neil came under immense pressure, and though they had a decent run again recently, and listen, they've got some fantastic players there still. Look at the way they blew Forest away 5-1 recently, but then they go and lose to Burton last weekend just going into this one, and with Fulham winning in midweek, I think the gap to the playoffs is 7 points now, so they've got to be pretty flawless between now and the end of the season to get into that top six, and they really need to beat Ipswich on Sunday. So as good as Norwich have been at home, and we have to say they've been excellent at Carrow Road, scored more home goals than anyone else in the Championship this season, so we're not taking them lightly by any, you know, stretch of the imagination. But if Ipswich play as they have been and start well, that crowd could just get a little bit edgy.
You mentioned starting well in the crowd there. You've covered Ipswich at Norwich at Carrow Road a fair few times. What's the likelihood of a good Ipswich start raising the hackles on the Norwich fans, who then start to put pressure on their team? And what's the likely effect of that? Are the Norwich players the sort of team that will start to cave a little bit if their fans get on their back, or are they going to use it to try and take the game to Ipswich if things don't go their way in the first 20 minutes or so?
Well, we'll see, won't we, what that, you know, I think those first couple of minutes almost in a derby kind of really set the tone, don't they? If someone smashes into a tackle and gets the crowd going, or there's a misplaced pass here or there. But we've been banging on about Ipswich being slow starters for a little while now, and that's one of the things that's impressed me in the last few games. And we were speaking to David McGoldrick this week, and he said those first 20 minutes against Reading have really set the tone for what followed. And what I like about them at the moment is they've got several players who aren't hiding. They want the ball. They're trying to get it down and play, which is something that they've missed for a long time. So, you know, if they can get people like McGoldrick and Hughes on the ball and playing, it might surprise Norwich, because I think, you know, there's probably still a perception from them that, you know, it's going to be an aggressive, physical Mick McCarthy side that will try and bully them. And they'll be coming up against a team, you know, without Daryl Murphy, with Sears and McGoldrick up front and Hughes, who I've touched upon. So might be sort of playing them at their own game a little bit more. You would still say, you know, on paper, they've got the better players to do that. Alex Pritchard, Houlihan, Wildschut, who ran Ipswich ragged up at Wigan. So, it's going to be a tough game, but certainly going to go into it with a lot more confidence than they would have done a few weeks ago.
You've picked out three names there. Are they going to be Norwich's main danger men, or is there other areas of the squad that Tanner are going to have to look out for on Sunday?
I think those creative sparks, they play that sort of 4-2-3-1 system, and whoever the three are playing in behind Cameron Jerome will be quality players. Wes Houlihan's been sort of in and out of the side now. I think Neil's been managing his workload a little bit at the age of 34, but he knows what the Derby fixtures are all about. I think he's 7 unbeaten against Ipswich, and on his day is still a fantastic player. Pritchard, big fan of him, going back to his loan spell at Brentford a few years ago, and we know that he can sort of unlock the door. And Stephen Naismith, fit again, you know, he's someone who went for £8 million plus, I think, from Everton not so long ago. So those players are the ones that I think, if Norwich can get their tails up at home and get those players involved, they're the danger men. But likewise, Ipswich finally have got a few players in that mould themselves that can do a bit of damage as well, which I've touched upon, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Who are those players for Town that are going to create the magic? Obviously, people like Hughes and Diegoraga have come into the squad recently and really livened things up a bit, but that can't discount players like McGoldrick, who have been around for a while at Ipswich and have just come back and hopefully offering a bit of a new dimension.
Yeah, I mean, for me, David McGoldrick looks finally back to his best. He's had 2 years of real injury hell. When he has got back out on the pitch, he's looked a shadow of the man he used to be. He's looked a bit frustrated. He's looked like he's trying too hard to force things. Maybe he's been carrying a few little niggles. But this latest comeback looks like he looks like the real deal again. And, you know, when you can get a fit and fully firing McGoldrick out there, he's up there in terms of the best players in the division. And he was a joy to watch against Leeds last weekend, so he'll be a big danger man. He's got a real understanding being built up with Emir Hughes, who we've discussed has been a real breath of fresh air in terms of what he's brought to middle of the park. So and Tom Lawrence, obviously a big miss with him being suspended, but it opens the door for somebody else, and Freddie Sears, who you know, toiled out on the wing for so long. He had that long goal drought, and maybe just a little break from the team is what he's needed, because he came back in his favoured front role last weekend and looked rejuvenated himself. So they got plenty of forward thinking positive players in that team now. They got the balance right, which perhaps they haven't had in the past.
How are Town likely to line up on Sunday, and is Mick McCarthy going to stick with the sort of tactics he's been employing recently? Are we going to see the 3-5-2 reappear as well, and is it going to be a similar team to Leeds, because that sort of was a few changes but seemed to work quite well for the side?
Yeah, I think it will be pretty similar. I mean, in the past, Mick's been obsessed with matching up the opposition's formation and trying to stop them. But the wing-backs has really, I think that's been one of the big factors in the recent turnaround. It has been the wing-back formation, because it suits so many players, that system. I think it suits Jonas Knudsen being tucked in a little bit more. You know, he can focus more on stopping and you know, rather than sort of bombing forward. I think it's given Grant Ward a lease of new life, being sort of tucked inside into a middle three rather than being out on the touchline. And with Kenlock and Emmanuel, I think, you know, the wing-back system suits them, because they're both still raw, they're both still learning the game. I think they're both better going forward than they are defensively, so maybe having a bit more of a freedom to attack as wing-backs rather than full-backs suits them as well. So wing-backs will almost certainly stick with at the weekend. In terms of personnel, Mick's got a couple of big decisions to make. I mentioned Emmanuel. he's kind of been in and out of the side, and Jordan Spence played right wing back in his place last weekend and did really well. So that's one big call. And the other, of course, is what he's going to do in midfield, because Diogo Raga, who's been excellent since he's come in on loan from Leeds, couldn't face his parent club last weekend. Cole Skuse came in and replaced him. Now, what does he do on Sunday with Tumani available again? I think there's no way he's going to drop Hughes. I think Ward's been one of their best players, so I can't see him dropping out. So for me, it's a straight toss-up between Skuse and Diogo Raga, which is really hard to call. Skuse has been virtually nailed on under McCarthy over the last 4 years, and it was put to him in the press conference, you know, is this the first time in his period in charge of Ipswich that Skuse isn't a nailed-on starter, and he kind of bristled at that a little bit. So that would suggest that Cole will probably get the nod ahead of Tumani, especially as Diogo Raga's had a little bit of illness this week and missed some training as well. So I think that will be the three he'll go for.
Is that likely to, as well as being quite a solid, dependable starting lineup, give Mick some options later in the game as well? Because being able to bring on Tumani Diogo Raga, who's been very good for Town since his arrival, is probably going to, in all fairness, give the fans a bit more to G them up than perhaps bringing Jonathan Douglas on, which is the player obviously that's been made a little bit of a scapegoat in recent weeks. But is being able to make that sort of change something that the fans will appreciate Mick being able to do?
Yeah, competition for places has made a huge difference. We keep talking about, you know, what is the main factor behind the turnaround. Finally, they've got players in all over the pitch that can keep others on their toes, which, you only go back a few weeks, I think the first Lincoln game there was 12 or 13 senior outfield players at McCarthy's disposal. You know, they were now joking that, you know, it's roll on roll off subs when they play a training match because they've got that many bodies in the building. So they were criticised that the seven signings in January were quantity rather than quality, but I think we've been pleasantly surprised by a few of them. Hughes and Diogo Raga we've mentioned, but I think Kiefer Moore has caught people's eye behind the scenes, and he's maybe an unlikely Derby hero that could step off the bench. Danny Rowe's been catching the eye in under 23 games, a tricky sort of left winger, not quite fully fit, but sounds like he'll be in the squad. And then you've got people like Tommy Smith and Luke Hyam returning to fitness as well. So maybe that's just kind of livened up training a little bit and got everyone to raise their game. So, yeah, as you said, there's plenty of options off the bench. Brett Pittman, you know, now has not come off the bench, I think, in the last four games, and he was top goal scorer last year. So that shows you the options that he's got to call upon.
Just touching on Smith and Hyam briefly there, are they likely to be included in the squad this weekend? Are they up to speed fitness-wise? And how will it benefit the squad, even if they don't play, but by having those very much Ipswich-born and bred players who will be able to give some of the new arrivals a real feel of what an East Anglian derby is like?
Yeah, McGoldrick said that both of them have been chirping in everyone's ears and telling them what Derby Day is all about and how long it's been since Ipswich have last won a game. Tommy was on the bench last weekend, so I expect that will be the same again on Sunday. And Mick told us that Luke Hyam will travel. Whether he's on the bench yet, I don't know, but he's had a couple of reserve games under his belt and he's working his way back. So, yeah, I mean, as you say, they're both people with both lads. I mean, Luke's a proper Ipswich boy, and Tommy is, you know, has been here from a very young age. So I'm sure they'll be telling everyone what it's all about.
Finally, this match has had an awful lot of focus put on it, as it always does in an East Anglian derby. But for Town fans particularly, a lot of people have been talking about perhaps being a really pivotal point in this season, which has not yielded some particularly memorable positive moments, especially looking forward to next season as well, where a lot of people will be thinking about renewing or buying season tickets. So how big of an impact is this one match going to have on the rest of this season and potentially the start of next season as well, both on the field and, to be honest, commercially for the club?
Yeah, I don't think you can overestimate the impact that this performance and result could have. Mick McCarthy was sort of fairly dismissive about, you know, the emphasis and the impact this game could have. You know, it's another game. There's only 3 points on offer, as managers do, but it could change the whole perception of this season, I think, from fans, because as you say, it's been a pretty forgettable season, and there's some really good green shoots of recovery been shown in the last few games, but that could all be quickly undone if it's a disaster on Sunday. But if they build upon it and they have one of those historic iconic moments where they go and win at Carroll Road, then it will change. You know, it doesn't undo everything that's gone on before, but it will make everyone feel a hell of a lot better going forwards. And you know, it might just win a few people back over on into mixed camp. And I think a few people want him to win them back over, and I think they're pleased that he's trusting in youth team players now. They're pleased that he's trusting in creative players and taking the shackles off a little bit. So if they can carry that into Sunday and turn that into another good performance and result, you're right, I think it could change the whole feel about the place.
Well, that's all we've got time for on this week's Sleeping Giants. It's probably been one of the most positive Ipswich Town podcasts we've done for quite a while, and we hope that will carry on into next week as well, of course. We will be all over the Derby game on Sunday. We've got live coverage before, during and after the game across our websites and social media feeds. We've got previews and interviews before and after the match as well, which you can take a look at between now and kick-off on Sunday. And of course, we'll be wanting your pictures from the day itself. You can send them to us on Twitter or Instagram with hashtag MyITFCP. We'd love to see you guys out and about following town, home and away. So we'll do a special gallery for the Derby Day with hashtag MyITFCPick from your social media contributions. We will be back next week to review everything that happens in the East Anglian Derby. Thank you to Stuart, and thanks for listening.